Welcome home to philosophy, where we wonder about everything, and anything is possible. Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Corey, the Laughing Philosopher. Life is complicated. The world is complicated, and you are complicated. Figuring out how to live a happy, meaningful life, guided by wisdom and reason, is not easy. Is life a game? What is love? Should I fear death? Is this a just world? Almost from the moment of birth, you've been told how to behave, how to fit in, and how to fulfill other people's expectations. You fear that you will lack importance or cease to exist in the lives of others if you think for yourself and question the rules and roles you've been told define you. Wisdom and reason will remove this illusion so you can live authentically in the world around you, find your true purpose, and become your real self. Welcome to episode 95, Socrates and Xanthippe. What hidden triggers are sabotaging your relationship? Socrates said, "By all means, marry. If you get a good wife, you'll become happy. If you get a bad one, you'll become a philosopher." Xanthippe, wife of Socrates, is described as cranky, nagging, hysterical, and constantly berating her husband. "The hardest to get along with of all the women there are," said Antisthenes. For all practical purposes, philosophers depict humans as having only three important survival needs: sustenance, a philosophy of life, and social relationships. We are social beings. Our biography is social. A relationship between two humans is required just to create a new one. And yet, a relationship is no soft affair. It is risky and difficult. Relationships seem to fail as often as they succeed. Sabotaging relationships are five hidden triggers. People suspect are true, but we are afraid to admit to ourselves. Too much communication. George Bernard Shaw said, "The single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place." Communication is one of the chief cornerstones of a healthy relationship. And over time, its absence will undermine even the best. And yet, at what point is communication damaging to a relationship? You don't know how to think for yourself. Almost from the moment of birth, you are told what to think, what to feel, what to want, and what to do. And to earn the approval and acceptance of others, you unthinkingly and unreflectingly internalize and behave in conformity to these ideas, emotions, and desires programmed in you. Schopenhauer said, "You can do what you want, but you can't want what you want." Society is a software uploaded to your mind, dictating what you want and desire. Your thoughts and feelings are not really your own. So don't jeopardize your healthy relationship by being too explicit and too demanding, and by sharing too much of your personal tastes and preferences. Oversharing of desires and expectation leads to disagreement and conflict. Conflicting tastes and preferences strain a relationship's bonds. Too much openness and honesty in sharing beliefs and opinions will sabotage like-mindedness and erode compatibility. Don't reveal your preferences. Make empty statements. Don't express your beliefs and convictions. Ask neutral questions. Give neutral opinions. Act incapable of understanding or being understood. Be inscrutable. Conceal your true feelings under a false but agreeable appearance. Be mysterious. Hide your true feelings behind a locked door inside you. Don't be too open. Doors are not just for keeping the wrong things outside, but for keeping the right things inside. "Know yourself," said Socrates. From then on, be silent. The probability of disagreement and conflict increases with every honest opinion and every true feeling you reveal. Charles Bukowski tells it like it is. Listen to how naked it feels when you and your partner know way too much about each other. "I was sentimental about many things. A woman's shoes under the bed. One hairpin left behind on the dresser. The way they said, 'I'm going to pee.' Hair ribbons. Walking down the boulevard with them at 1:30 in the afternoon. Just two people walking together. The long nights of drinking and smoking, talking, the arguments, thinking of suicide, eating together and feeling good. The jokes, the laughter out of nowhere, feeling miracles in the air, being in a parked car together, comparing past loves at 3 a.m., being told you snore, hearing her snore, mothers, daughters, sons, cats, dogs, sometimes death and sometimes divorce, but always carrying on, always seeing it through, reading a newspaper alone in a sandwich joint and feeling nausea because she's now married to a dentist with an IQ of 95. Racetracks, parks, park picnics, even jails. Her dull friends, your dull friends, your drinking, her dancing, your flirting, her flirting. Her pills. You're fucking and fighting and drinking and reading. That ability to joke, chances to compare loves and ideas. The beauty of her legs in the summer, the horror of the approaching years. You make them all, and they make you. Sound familiar? Too much communication murders a relationship. Lack of communication is key to a healthy relationship. Too much trust. Siddhartha said, without communication, there is no relationship. Without respect, there is no love. Without trust, there is no reason to continue. Trust is necessary to establish and maintain a lasting relationship. And yet, at what point is trust damaging to a relationship? Trust is the glue of society. And yet, trusting each other too much and too deeply increases the risk of falling into a taken-for-granted relationship where no time or attention or effort is taken by your partner to make you feel cared about, worried about, looked after, listened to, appreciated, valued, or special. You stop feeling excited and happy to see each other. You stop going out of your way to engage in small, random acts of love and kindness. You stop hugging. You stop trying to know more about each other and are no longer curious. There is no need to care about each other because your partner will always be present and available. There is no need to ask your advice or listen to what you have to say because your partner already knows everything about you and trusts you to always stay exactly the same. There is no need to wonder about each other because you trust your partner so completely and so absolutely. Your relationship is taken for granted. You can't love someone you take for granted. And you can't be taken for granted and feel loved. Too much trust leads to a loveless relationship. You must foster unease and distrust to undermine the perception you will always be there without any extra effort or caring. Act erratic and mysterious so you seem to be unpredictable and more interesting. Go for a new, unexpected look. Make a habit of keeping secrets to encourage your partner's curiosity about what you are thinking and doing. Make your partner worry about you. Be short with your partner. And when you do speak, delay your responses as if you're concealing something. Hide something big from your partner and get caught. Encourage your partner to fear losing you. Make your partner feel you are always prepared to walk away and they are not your only option. Foster fear and distrust So your partner will value you, care for you, listen to you, look after you, please you, worry about you, and make you feel appreciated and special. Khalil Gibran said, "Love is an endless act of forgiveness. Forgiveness is an endless act of love. Lack of trust is key to a healthy relationship." Too much togetherness. Dostoevsky said, "To love someone means to see them as God intended them." Neglecting meaningful time, devoted exclusively to nurturing a cherished partner, leads to emotional distance and disconnection. And yet, at what point is quality time damaging to a relationship? The most precious gift we can give each other is our attention. And yet, do partners in a monogamous relationship have to do everything together? Do they have to spend all of their time together? What should companionship in a good relationship look like? Said Lucius Apuleius, Roman philosopher of the second century of the Common Era, "Familiarity breeds contempt, while rarity wins admiration." Expecting your partner in a relationship to be everything to you and to meet all of your needs and desires is a sign of immaturity. Couples should do things together. Common interests and pursuits strengthen their relationship, creating experiences and memories and making them feel connected. And yet, couples should not do everything together. A good relationship needs a healthy amount of personal time and personal space to remain healthy. If they are only ever together, even the best relationship will grow stale and stagnant from standing still, as a pool of foul water. Time and space apart will bring in fresh energy and reignite a dull and boring relationship. Every now and then, you and your partner need to disengage, be unavailable to each other, be inaccessible, be rarity, not familiarity. And when you're back together, the relationship will feel just as exciting as it used to be. And you and your partner will again feel special to each other. Nothing brings a dead relationship back to life like not being together. The old stigma of sleeping in separate beds or separate bedrooms is over. Separate sleeping arrangements lead to new and better forms of intimacy. Separate living arrangements encourage a sense of personal autonomy to flourish. Living apart together, you can do what you want in your own space. Learn to value solitude and find just the right balance between time together and time apart. Is it healthy to have close friends of the opposite sex outside of a monogamous relationship? Absolutely. Developing deep emotional connections is possible with people you're not attracted to. Not only is this no threat to a monogamous relationship, it is healthy to have true friends no matter what gender they are. It's healthy for men to make female friends, and it's healthy for women to make male friends. So long as your friends respect your monogamous relationship, friendships with the opposite sex shouldn't present any problems. Couples in a monogamous relationship ought to go out separately. Interesting experiences with others outside the relationship, such as separate vacations, are stimulating and energizing. Separate interests and pursuits enhance your happiness and emotional well-being and make you a better partner. Separate friends and separate experiences outside of the relationship are symbolic of its success. Go your own way and accept your partner's need for time alone with their own interests and friends. Personal time allows each person in a relationship to pursue their own individual interests and helps maintain their own individual identity. Don't take offense when your partner expresses their need for more freedom and more personal space. Opening a separate bank account provides a sense of financial independence and empowerment. Old conventions dictate too much time together and too little personal freedom. Traditional beliefs and conventional wisdom are no longer a guarantee of a lasting relationship, if they ever were. Lack of togetherness is now key to a healthy relationship. Too much predictability. In his play, A Midsummer Night's Dream, Shakespeare wrote, "The course of true love never did run smooth." Rules of all kinds are necessary to establish, maintain, and protect a relationship from life's uncertainty and unpredictability. And yet, at what point is certainty and predictability damaging to a relationship? Unpredictability is constant and a natural consequence of how we live. Unpredictability cannot be avoided or escaped. You cannot influence or control the unpredictable. You cannot plan or prepare for the unpredictable. No matter how meticulously we design and organize our lives, out of the blue, unexpected shit happens. Sudden unpredictability fills us with fear, confusion, and despair. Nietzsche said, "He who has a why to live for can bear with almost any how." So when why has no answer, just life's unpredictability, "Why me?" is used by a person whenever something from left field has gone against them. And yet, in order for you and your partner to feel safe and protected, the relationship must be orderly and predictable. Unpredictability is disruptive and damaging to a relationship. How are we supposed to be happy together if we're in perpetual fear of losing everything to the vagaries of an unpredictable world? So long as we impose structure on our relationship and require orderliness in everything we do, our way of life is predictable and safe. Everything in our relationship must be governed by a system or method. Everything must happen in a regular sequence, according to an established order or rule. Everything must be arranged in a neat, tidy manner. Nothing can be out of place. We structure our relationship in order to protect ourselves from life's uncertainties, so we feel safe and free from danger. Control without freedom is preferable to freedom with the risk of surprise. The structure of the relationship becomes the structure of our consciousness. Thoughts, feelings, and actions demand predictability without freedom, rather than freedom with the risk of unpredictability. Everything you think, feel, and do is programmed and robotic. Nothing unexpected happens. Nothing spontaneous happens. Everything happens just as it should. There are no surprises. There is no excitement. The relationship is not an adventure. It is a ritual. Too much structure is boring, and boredom is the root of all evil. God was bored, so he created Adam. Adam was bored, so God created Eve for him. Eve was bored and made friends with Satan. Satan was bored and tempted Eve. God was bored with Adam and Eve and kicked them out of paradise. Unpredictability in a relationship is risky. It's also something new and thrilling. Excitement always energizes bonds and strengthens commitment. Excitement breathes new life into a dull relationship. Predictability is safe, but boring. Sameness is comfortable and familiar, but dull and uninteresting. Boredom always leads to weakening commitment and losing interest in the relationship. Unpredictability adds wow to a relationship. Predictability adds a yawn. Unpredictability is key to a healthy relationship. And lastly, too much submissiveness. Epictetus, the great Stoic philosopher, said, The best relationship is one in which your love for each other exceeds your need for each other. Submissive behavior can help build mutual trust, shared interests, and intimacy, strengthening bonds between partners. And yet, at what point is submissiveness damaging to a relationship? Shakespeare said, "Expectation is the root of all heartache." Some men and women in a monogamous relationship are too weak and too submissive. The overly submissive partner cannot show strength and desires a dominant partner to lead their relationship. Lack of mutual expectations leads to disappointment and frustration. Inability to understand and relate to one another's expectations leads to alienation, estrangement, and isolation. Ignoring or mishandling conflicting and unmutual expectations causes resentment to build up, severely damaging the relationship. Over time, submissive partners drift apart and drift toward dominant partners with whom they share mutual expectations. As an example, men can be nice to women, and women want nice guys. And yet, nice guys can be too nice. Disagreeable men live only for themselves, but they know what they want. Agreeable men live only for others, and are so submissive, they don't even know what they want for themselves. Submissive men have no wants or needs apart from pleasing their partners. Submissive men live in order to please and please in order to be motivated to live. The meeting of two personalities, said Carl Jung, is like the contact of two chemical substances. If there is any reaction, both are transformed. Masculinity and femininity are not toxic. Women desiring a dominant man will be offended by nice guy behavior. Men needing a dominant woman will be rejected by a submissive female. Lack of submissiveness can be key to a healthy relationship and its continuity. Too much positive behavior will kill a relationship. Communication, trust, togetherness, predictability, and submissiveness are beneficial in moderation, but toxic in excess. Arthur Schopenhauer said, "Monogamy, the same spouse with new illusions." This quote carries several layers of meaning. In the beginning of a relationship, there's a sense of novelty and excitement. Partners develop idealized images of the relationship. As time goes on, their idealization gives way to a more realistic perception. You are committed to the same relationship, yet over time, your perception of that relationship shifts and evolves. This evolution impacts the dynamics of the relationship, both in positive and negative ways. Partners will see each other and their relationship in new ways through new illusions. You are complicated. Your partner is complicated. Relationships are not exams to pass or fail, and not a competition to win or lose, said Siddhartha. It's a feeling in which you care for someone more than yourself. Relationships are complicated and perilous. There ought to be a medal for this kind of bravery. Thank you for listening. I hope you will take what you've learned and be a better person. Think for yourself. Question everything. Accept nothing that does not agree with your own reason and good sense. And I promise you, despite its sham and drudgery, you will get on pretty well in this crazy world. I'm Dr. Robert Corey. Until we meet again, be good.